Welcome back, Interweb friends. Stop the movie. I want to get out. Hollywood makes bad movies.
Or good movies.
And we make fun of them. That is what this show is about. I'm Alex Dunbar.
Yeah.
Joined by the entire Stop the Movie crew, we have Jack Estabrook.
Hello.
Cody Wolf.
What up, nutsack?
Andy
Stole
Wolf.
My line.
Yeah, that's it. Just filed a complaint with the WGA.
Yeah.
And Brian Mueller.
Five more days to Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Five more days for Halloween, this movie sucks.
If you go to Moxa, I'm doing the right key at least.
I can't do it in that key because I heard it so much. I'm so freaking annoyed by that key.
I know.
If I hear that song one more time.
You ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to Tom Atkins a TV.
And what the hell does Shamrocks have to do with Halloween?
Halloween.
Our movie this week is Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. Not the Nicolas Cage season of the witch. Yeah.
Is this a sign to never name your movie Season of the
yeah,
Witch?
Don't name your movie Season of the Witch, which sounds like a cool title but leads to terrible films. We're going to jump right into this. This is the sequel to Halloween 2 that has nothing to do with Halloween 2.
It bears the name Halloween. It is a sequel.
The name is Halloween
3. The next Michael Myers film is called Halloween 4. Right?
I like having like a movie we called all Predator and not having like the Predator.
Well, right. But we all know what they're trying to do. They're trying to make different Halloween-themed movies.
Which is true. The theory was to do an anthology kind of thing of just movies themed around the holiday of Halloween.
But
this movie absolutely crashed and
burned,
if
they're going to do that, then why do Michael Myers in part two?
Well, because
they came up with the idea a little too late.
Yeah. He didn't want to do a Michael Myers 3, so he talked. Is it Universal who released this one?
Yeah.
He talked him into, oh, what if we did an anthology series? What if it was freaking terrible? And what if we really have no solid plot? You know?
That's okay.
Yeah, and things went from there. Let's just jump right into this. Right off the top, I was like, are you kidding me with the graphics we get in the front of this
movie? I fast-forwarded through it. I couldn't take it.
These were not impressive, even in 1982.
It was like, it reminded me of that scene in Dumb and Dumber where he's like, you want to hear the most annoying sound ever?
I hated it.
We're starting off on a bad foot here, guys.
This is a bad foot. Yeah.
It's not us.
Yeah. It's one of the longest title sequences ever.
It is long.
And
it was
very
long.
It's very seizure inducing. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about
Absolutely.
That, too.
They should have put a disclaimer on
it. If you have trouble with flashing lights.
And of course, the Halloween franchise, you expect, even if it's not a Michael Myers film, you expect the famous Halloween theme. And you don't get that here.
I understand it's not
a Michael Myers film.
It's in this movie.
It's in this movie when this movie shows you a long sequence from Halloween 1, inexplicably. So right off the top, we get a title card that says October, Saturday the 23rd. I'm like, really? We couldn't just say October 23rd. Like, we need to know it's Saturday.
Do we need to know the days,
and
really,
with the theory of Saturday the 23rd.
Yeah, I thought that was going to play a part at some point. Yeah, but
Is there a less conversational way to give that?
I appreciate that, by the way.
You need a placeholder like that?
I appreciate to know what day it was.
But you appreciate that they phrased it in the...
2:03 a.m.
If I said... Oh, you know, what's your birthday? Oh, my birthday? It's January the 17th. You would just say January
1900.
17th? This movie actually had hilarious time cues, I thought, throughout. Like, completely unnecessary. Like, so much information that you didn't need.
Yeah. We're about to get into one of those. I know
I laughed
remember.
At that one, so.
We just get this sequence of a guy on the run who... runs into what appears to be a junkyard?
Yeah.
Okay, he runs into a junkyard. A couple of other guys are following him in a car. It's important, I think, to point this out, that the guys who are following him are in a car. They know how to drive a car. They're familiar with the lights in the car, turn signals. They can drive a car in reverse. They follow this guy into a junkyard, trap him. The guy then releases a car in the junkyard, so it's coming at his attacker. And his attacker looks at it like, you know, someone would just look at, like, a stone. Like, has no idea what's happening. Yeah. So...
The guy also, before the henchman like came to get him, does like the worst job of hiding ever. He's like standing, like it's a junkyard, so there's plenty of places to hide, and he's like standing right in front of like the door to the manager's office, and the car comes, and he just like slowly like squats, but he's not squatting like behind anything.
Yeah,
he squats down.
They won't see me if I curl up into a ball.
I'm making myself smaller.
He squats down, so then he crushes one of these guys following him with a car. Mm-hmm. They're implying that the guy who is following here, who drove here in a car, does not know how a car operates or that a car is going to crush him, which makes no sense. And actually, it makes even less sense.
Well, the funny thing is, it's such a long playing out thing. Like you say, he's choking him. You see the car coming, and he does kind of straighten up and look over, and it takes another, I don't know,
few seconds. Tom, get out of the way.
He doesn't attempt to get out of the way.
Yeah.
It is funny.
Yeah, that's one way to describe it. Intentional humor.
Hilarity. We then, like Brian said, get a time cue where for no reason comes up on the screen and says, 1 hour later.
Yeah, I know.
Like 30, why yeah, is that important? Like,
to let
why
you know how much time has passed.
You don't need to know.
It's clearly the same night.
If they did do that, you guys would be going, well, how much time has passed since I did?
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Not in this instance.
No, it's pretty clear.
He runs from the damn junkyard and goes to the gas station.
It's pretty clear. Like, he had just left the junkyard.
The last scene ends with him running away, and then the next scene basically begins with him, like, continuously running. Like, well, we just want to know, like, what his 2 mile time is?
Like, yeah, you want to know? You're like, okay, how long has he been running? Geez, I wonder how far away he got. Now you know.
Well, we don't know how far away he got. All we know is 30 minutes later. He could be a great distance runner. He could be really slow. He could have gone 10 feet for all we know. So really, it doesn't tell you anything except what time it is.
It's true.
So 1 hour later, he shows up. The guy who was just on the run shows up at a gas station, which
run by Sammy Davis Jr.
It looked like him, and apparently selling. I don't know if anyone caught this. Pennzoil. Like, yeah, I don't think they could. They apparently were afraid of getting sued by Pennzoil, so there's a few extra N's in there.
Wow.
Great way to avoid that. Couldn't just come up with a fake oil name. No one could think of a fake oil, so they just put a few extra N's in Pennzoil. That'll keep us out of trouble.
I didn't catch that.
And instead of like knocking on the door of the gas station, it's a lot more effective for him to come in and scare the life out of the guy working in the gas station.
Well, come on. You know there's a stinger coming up, so you got to time it right to pop in there so the stinger happens the same time you run in.
Of course. That's all. How would you not do it that way, I guess?
I was confused. How much time had passed in between when the gas station attendant was like watching TV and when the guy ran in through the door?
42 seconds later.
They should have put that like 2 minutes
right, they should have put
the timeline is really not clear there.
So confusing.
An important clue here, too, because the TV is on. And they're talking about...
Yeah, three more Silver days Shannon. To Halloween.
No. Before
Halloween.
That, there's a news report.
Oh, yeah, Stonehenge.
A stone is stolen from Stonehenge?
Yes, that was on the TV at this point.
Which, oh, oh God.
Not a clue. Doesn't help you figure anything out. You could watch this movie 100 times.
I had this
figured out
as soon as I saw that.
Yeah.
So, it's obvious what they're doing.
Right.
So
if
you're paying attention.
At the end of the movie, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So the gas station attendant brings this guy to the hospital. Gas station attendant, by the way, really getting a lot of mileage out of this. I think this was probably scheduled to be a non-speaking, like, one-day on-set role, which he managed to make into a ton. He probably has, like, the fourth most dialogue in this movie.
Well, there hasn't been any dialogue to this point outside of like what's being said on the TV.
Yeah, it's some of the dumbest dialogue too.
Really, that means a lot coming from you because you like this movie.
Pretty dumb though.
Yeah.
When you say something like, "My mom always said you got to help people out," I'm not in trouble, am I? I don't want any trouble.
Well, so
I'm just trying to help out. Nothing's going to happen to me.
Well, it's like one of those things where they just like add stupid dialogue like that to pad it out until something can happen.
Well, yeah. So he brings him to the hospital. The guy who's being chased is being, like, wheeled down, like, the hospital corridor.
Clutching a mask.
Because that's what they do. They don't take, like...
Yeah.
If someone comes in holding a Halloween mask, they're not going to be like...
Could be evidence.
Yeah, let him keep holding that. There's no reason to take that away from him as we prep him for surgery. He's being wheeled down the hallway with all these, like, doctors around him. And all the dialogue is coming from the gas station attendant who found him. I have a note. I'm like, why is this guy even still in the movie? What is he doing here?
Dude, I love his even exit. He's like, hey, can I go?
Yeah, I love his exit too.
Yeah,
they show his exit like four different times. It's like they show him like backing off, then they go back to the doctor's. Okay, like he's gone, and then like once again they show him. He's like backing up. It's like, all right, we get it. He's leaving.
Is he like an actor that we should know? Are they like giving him that screen time on purpose?
I kept thinking, I was like, why are they building? Because by the way, we're also in the midst of this gas station guy dominating.
We're introducing the main character.
The main character, Tom Atkins, who's a doctor at the hospital. But the gas station character is all the dialogue. It was like almost like a dare with Tom Atkins being like, you know what? I'm not going to say anything in my first few scenes.
Have this
gas station worker who shouldn't even be on set today deliver all the dialogue.
And what's wrong with this guy, by the way?
Who knows?
Did his mind just snap? Is that what it is? His mind just snapped? He can't.
Oh, you're the one that's seen the movie 18 times.
So they put him in the ICU because he's freaking out, clutching a mask.
Right.
Yeah. He collapsed. He was strong enough to walk to the gas station and scare the heck out of the attendant.
In 30 minutes.
Yeah, in it. 1 hour later.
60 minutes. There's 60 minutes on by the way.
I thought it said 30 minutes later.
No, it said an hour. It said 1 hour later.
Is it? Yeah. But now
it was originally going to say 1 hour, 47 minutes, 22 seconds later, but they thought that was too
1 hour
specific.
Later. Still Saturday.
The 23rd.
Actually.
It was Sunday at that point.
With the way the graphics come up, I'm surprised it wasn't text that said, the small hand on the clock has moved one position.
They should have just put a running clock in the top left corner of the screen the entire room.
So,
what time is it?
So, yeah, so the guy who's now conveniently, like, kind of catatonic, but can say things like, they're going to kill us all. Which Tom Atkins...
He can't explain what else, he just can say they're going to kill us all.
Yeah, and Tom Atkins is kind of like, okay, and, you know, all right. And one of my favorite things about this is, in the Halloween movies, if you're living in the world of the Halloween movies and you get taken to a hospital, look out. Anything goes. There is virtually no staffing.
Yeah, there's never anyone on staff.
No one is on staff. Anyone can walk
in. There's a lot of murder
out.
Happening in hospitals in Halloween
in
series.
Hospitals. Most rooms are not lit. Hallways are abandoned. It's essentially like, you know, welcome
it's
to the Ghost Town Memorial Hospital. And so then these guys who look like the guys who were chasing him just walk into the hospital, and in what I have in my notes is they Three Stooge him to death by giving him an eye gouge.
Yep.
Snap his nose, man. That's pretty gruesome.
Yeah, I thought he died of
a broken nose. I like that effect. I thought that was pretty funny.
Well, I thought originally like he forced like the nose bone into his brain, but no, his nose is larger, meaning he pulled the bone out.
Yeah, he just grabbed it and ripped his skull apart.
If he had put his hand up like in front of his face to prevent the eye gouge.
Well, guys would have just left.
Yeah.
We can't kill him.
You should watch the Three Stooges because it saved his life.
Yeah. And here's a question after this. Why do we then get 30 seconds of one of those guys cleaning a glove on a curtain in the room?
And what's the point?
Why is that in the movie?
Well, because you would think that the killer would put the gloves on to leave no fingerprints and to avoid getting blood on his hands. So why doesn't he just throw the gloves away when he's done?
Right. Why do we get...
And he's going to kill himself.
He has to wipe off... And, yes, great point, Cody.
We get an extensive scene of him cleaning a glove. We spend more time watching him clean a glove than him set himself on fire and kill himself outside.
30 seconds later!
It's just a cool little transition thing.
It's not cool!
She walks in, she's like... Don't they, like, come off him cleaning a glove to her coming in and being like...
Yeah, it's almost like, again...
Yeah, but she could just walk in on him killing the guy, and that would have been just...
What they should have done is showed him washing the glove and then, like, done a dissolve and been, like, 10 minutes later. Make sure the glove's all squeaky clean.
I feel like they were shooting it like they used to do radio theater where the timing would be off, and he had to find something to do. He's like, God, when she missed her cue, she was supposed to come in 10 seconds. I gotta... I'm just washing this glove on the
ground. Yeah, you have to dry here. I gotta wipe this glove
I hope
off.
Nobody sees me. By the way, I'm washing a glove on the curtain. Oh, there she is.
Boy, I sure hope Martha comes in soon to check on her patient. God, this glove is dirty.
Yeah. So he goes outside and immediately lights himself on fire in his station wagon.
Because Tom Atkins tries to stop him. Like, hey, what are you doing here?
Also, knowing what we know at the end of the movie, why didn't he light himself on fire?
That makes no sense.
That makes no sense either. Nope. It's just
why
to happen.
Yeah. Let's turn
well,
to let's
it's
well,
the only
well,
the only
evidence
himself.
May I remind you, Mr. Wolf, you are under oath.
What?
going out of this.
You know, you want to be get back track back to old Hanahan or whatever the hell his name is.
What?
To
what?
Silver Shamrock.
Yeah.
You don't even know his name.
Why
you've
did
seen
he
the
say
movie a billion times.
So they're not afraid.
You mean Cochran?
Cochran, yeah.
So they're not afraid.
Cochran Hand.
Hanahan.
His name's O'Hurley. That name's O'Hurley.
So just to clarify your theory. So the Silver Shamrock Company is not concerned.
They have orders. They have orders. If you ever get caught,
he didn't get
yourself.
Caught.
But
he
that's never established. When is this ever established? Are you filling this in
Tom
your
Atkins
brain?
Is a doctor.
Tom Atkins wrote down his license number.
It's Tom Atkins, man. That guy catches you.
He wasn't even going to catch him.
He was pulling out in the car. Atkins was watching him leave.
A doughy Tom Atkins was like 200 yards behind him when the guy
jogging.
Was in the car.
He was jogging slowly behind him.
Get back here.
Tom Atkins wasn't even outside when he was dumping gasoline on himself. And the time he dumped gasoline, he could have put the car in reverse and left.
The scene is like this. It's like, hey, you, hey. I got quit. Oh, he's too
seriously,
far.
Guys.
The only purpose this scene serves is to kind of make his character's interest get piqued.
Yeah,
but it makes no sense once you know the end of the movie.
It does. So the Silver Shamrock Company was cool with potentially dozens of people looking straight at this guy's face, seeing him go in, murder a man, walk back outside,
and they
like,
burn himself to death.
But don't bring the evidence back. Then light yourself on fire. That will defer all suspicion. From us. That will make this just blow over. People will be like, why did a robot blow himself up and light himself on fire in a hospital parking lot? That's not suspicious at all.
You're right. It wasn't suspicious, was it?
I don't throw them off.
I think right around here is where we also get.
Holy shit. They find out that it's out of bones. They would find gears and circuit boards.
I think they can't separate the ashes from the car from the ashes
they
of the body.
Right?
Oh my god.
How could any competent doctor make that mistake?
So the plan worked.
Obviously, sure did.
They
couldn't identify anything. They had some gears and stuff and circuitry. There.
You know what else they couldn't have identified? If the car and the robot were not there when the police were there. They would have had nothing either.
So right around.
Not to mention, we're talking about robots in a Halloween movie.
Right. And right about this point, we get our first reference to the original Halloween where there's like.
First, because he's watching TV in the bar that we're talking about.
Yes.
He's met the girl right now.
The funniest
thing
about that, though, before they show Halloween.
Oh, to that point, yeah.
Has he met the girl first?
He meets the girl there.
You're jumping way ahead of me. Okay.
No, when she identifies the body.
Well, yeah, so the guy's daughter comes in, and the police are like, you really don't have to do this right now. Like, it's pretty bad. And she's like, I want to do it. They peel back the sheet, and she's immediately like, why did you make me look at this? Like, you know, she's
like, I was
going to
look at his feet.
Yeah. So I like the part when right after the fire, though, and Tom Atkins decides to call his ex-wife.
Nancy Loomis.
Oh, yes.
He's telling his ex-wife, the fire police are in there, and the cops got the mask, and he wants to make a phone call, but Tom's like, I got my ex-wife on it. Hang on a second. I know this is important police work, but...
Yeah. No, my favorite reaction to that was when she's berating him, and then he puts the phone on, and he's like, ex-wife. And did you notice the one guy on the left side of the screen just kind of like... puts his like arms out like girl.
I think that's a real reaction. I'm convinced that was like an improv line by Tom Atkins, and that's like an extra who's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to. Am I supposed to
he
respond?
He just like, puts his arm. He like kind of like opens up his palm to the ceiling and just like, yeah.
Tell me about it. Well, as soon as you get that old bag off the phone, we got a murder investigation here. Guy was just gouged to death, and a dude lit himself on fire in the parking lot. So,
did you also get the feeling that in that scene, that cop that needed to use the phone, did you notice how he like came in? He like looked annoyed that he was on the phone, and the actor like looked like he had no idea like where to sit.
Where to go, right?
So he like sat like in front of the camera, right, like blocking half of the frame.
Yep.
They did not block this scene out beforehand.
No,
they did not.
No.
So then, is it the bar? Are we there yet?
Well, and Tom Atkins, he sees the guy's
Ellie
daughter
in,
walk
yeah.
out.
Yeah, yeah. So he goes to the bar, and he's
watching cartoons in the
that's
bar.
That's my favorite thing. Is in the bar, there's a cartoon on the TV, like, do, 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 do.
Like, you mind changing this?
I'm just like, I've never walked into a bar and seen cartoons.
Yeah, that looked like the worst bar ever. There was no one there. It was darkly lit, and they're playing cartoons.
Yeah, like late at night, too. Yeah.
There could have been like a game or, I don't know, anything. Yeah. So yeah, he searches the channel and there's a commercial for the original Halloween.
And here's my problem.
John Carpenter's original classic.
It refers to Halloween as the immortal classic. The immortal classic. Ease up, John Carpenter. You know what? Let's rein in the ego a little bit here.
Yeah, just a little.
Let's try to not refer to your own movie as an immortal classic.
Especially 2 years after it was made.
Yeah.
And that's not even the last time you see Halloween on TV in this movie.
Yeah, now, does this break the fourth wall? Now this no longer takes place in the Halloween universe.
Right. And it did. There isn't.
Well, it didn't need to, considering no one from the other Halloween were in this movie, including the one thing that made the Halloween movies good.
Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Donald Pleasance.
So then Tom Atkins, who decided he didn't want to talk to the guy's daughter at the hospital, now, like, it's at the bar, and he's like, hello, ladies. And he's like, let me chat her up a little bit here. So.
You like cartoons?
Dad just got his eyes gouged out. But what's your story? And she has some great dialogue. Like, I don't know why this made me laugh so much, but she says to him, why would anyone want to kill Papa? Like, really? You refer to him as Papa? Because that's just disturbing to me. Like, that's, you know, not like my father, dad.
20-year-olds in the 80s and call their fathers Papa?
Papa. Yeah, I'm like, okay, you know.
Papa was such a nice man. I know a
couple people actually called their father Papa, but go ahead.
Well, other than Heidi, I mean, Heidi is the only one I can think of.
I know they refer their father's Papa, but go ahead.
Are they Smurfs?
Are they from, like,
Holland? Because the Smurfs are the only ones I know who are really comfortable with that term. Do they wear wooden shoes?
Yeah, who says Papa?
Yeah.
Who do you know that says Papa?
Oh, some friends. Their kids still call their father Papa.
Okay.
They do.
And so,
how old are their kids, though?
Why Andy likes this movie.
How old are their kids?
20.
20s.
God.
All right. Well, it was pretty creepy to me.
You're making stories up to defend this movie. That's all you're doing.
Cody, do you call Andy Papa?
No.
Will you from now on?
I wouldn't call him Papa, yeah.
Yeah.
He's Mr. Wolf.
I demand respect.
Yeah. You command respect. So she tells Tom Atkins, Dr. Tom Atkins, I've been doing some detective work really fast. Like, she's really turning this detective work around pretty quickly.
Basically, the guy got killed, and then he killed himself, so you'd think that the detective work is done.
Well, you'd think so. And she somehow, I don't remember the exact sequence, but she's like, I think it has something to do.
They go to the store.
They go to his store, yeah.
Yeah.
She goes through his, like, appointment log.
He made a couple appointments, and then the one after picking up the mask, he didn't make.
Yeah.
Mini Blankenship. He didn't show up.
Yeah. Also, I have another clue for her. He was clutching a Halloween mask in the hospital as he was dying.
Yeah, that would have been a good clue.
His skull fractured.
Yeah.
So the last stop he made was Silver Shamrock. Pick up some masks.
The Silver Shamrock factory in Santa Mira, California.
Yeah. Because shamrocks really remind you of Halloween, don't they?
Yeah.
They say an Irish Halloween mask? And he says, hey, in California, you never know.
Yeah, which begs the question, what nationality is known for Halloween masks?
I don't, it doesn't really
matter. Are they implying like druids? Is that what they're implying?
The Germans have that market corner? Then it's weird.
Aren't they implying that
they're
druids or something? Because the Stonehenge rocks?
That's what it is, yeah.
Yeah. Kind of. Well, okay. So.
Well, this is where Tom Atkins starts getting really creepy with this girl. I don't know what it was with Tom Atkins and John Carpenter movies, because in The Fog, he's like really creepy with a girl who's 20.
He scores with Jamie Lee Curtis
in the first
3 minutes.
And we should mention, too, Tom Atkins, just so we can establish how creepy this is, he's in his late 40s. Nancy Loomis, who's playing his ex-wife in this movie, she's got, like, gray hair. Like,
yeah, she played a teen in Halloween 2 years earlier.
Yeah, but they're making it clear that, like, his wife, his ex-wife is a middle-aged woman. So now Dr. Tom Atkins is like, sure, young girl, I'll go off to Santa Mira and the Silver Shamrock plant.
And noted she brought sexy lingerie with her on this trip.
We're going to get there.
He abandons his kids, I just want to say, to go to Santa Mira with this girl.
Yeah.
His kids were waiting for him to take him trick-or-treating or something.
He said, I'll be back in Halloween. I'll be back for Halloween. He promised.
Well, he was supposed to be there Saturday, though.
I got a C2.
Yeah.
And can we talk about, too, through the first 40 minutes of this movie, they're laying a lot of groundwork that Tom Atkins is an alcoholic. Like, they're really, like, pushing that. Like, he's in the bar. He's got to get a drink. He's constantly, like, there's alcohol in his breath. Before he goes to Santa Mira, he's got to pick up, like, a six-pack of beer. And I'm thinking, oh, this is going to come back. Like, they've really, like, they're doing all, they're laying a lot of pipe on this. Nope. Never comes back. Never comes back.
You know why? I think it's because Tom Atkins just felt so creepy, creeping on this girl, that he just had to drink it away.
It's something. I don't know. I have a feeling that, like, maybe Tom Atkins or someone was like, I really feel like I've got to round this character out. And he, like, Tom Atkins was, like, built up this backstory that he was trying to put into the movie that then the screenwriters were like, yeah, we don't care about that.
We have other numerous points that will sell this movie.
We're too busy doing the heist backstory of Stonehenge. We don't have time to work on the characters. Dr. Chalice and dead guy's daughter check into the Santa Mira Hotel or Motel.
Rosa Shannon. What is it? Rosa,
that's right. It had like an Irish
Rose
name.
Rosa Shannon or something, yeah.
Rosa Shannon, yeah.
Where a guy does...
All pink.
It's like the worst Irish accent ever.
Well, here's the standard for bad accents in movies. You have Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins, and then everything else is above that. Yeah. This guy is barely above Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins. It is... a parody of an Irish. In fact, when other characters, the main villain comes in and has an Irish accent, yeah. I half expected him to be like, "Dude, you gotta tone that down. Yeah. You need to do some character."
What do you mean, Mr. Cochran?
Talk for the morning to you,
This is just how he talks.
Yeah. Lucky charms.
We're working for the Silver Shamrock.
It's quiet and the price is right. It's ridiculous.
Oh. I like the scene when they first go into the town and they're driving along like the main road and you just see like all these people in like the shops just like staring out.
Yeah.
And Atkins is just like, company town. Yeah. That explains it.
Yeah. Yeah. We're outsiders. Everyone's going to want to look at
and
us.
And then his rationale to get her into a motel room is, we need some place to go where no one will be able to hear us talk. Let's get a hotel room tonight.
Yeah. Not this car that we also are in right now. We need somewhere else to talk. They could be controlled by other people. So, and again, actually, once they're in Santa Mira, Tom Atkins is, she's all like, all right, here's what we're going to do. All right, here's my plan.
Whoa, wait a minute. Let's slow down.
Yeah.
I need a drink.
I need a drink. And he goes out to the liquor store. Even though it was a curfew that in his town.
Line, the best line of the movie was like, right here, where it's like,
the best
maybe
one
I
maybe
sleep in the car.
No, yeah, that's my favorite.
Line. This is coming up. This is coming up.
It's when he comes back.
Oh no, no, well, I'm sorry.
One good line.
We'll talk about this. This is one of the creepiest moments we've seen in this show.
There's a number of creepy moments.
We've had a number, but I don't know if any of them are creepier than a girl who appears to be 18 saying to a past middle-aged Tom Atkins.
Who she just met the day before.
Well, I mean...
Now you're past it.
Because our timestamp says it takes
place
a day later.
Because they're like discussing whatever like
they're discussing,
the plan is for the next
day. And he's talking about like he's got to go out and get some booze and like what the plan is. And then she just goes... Where do you want to sleep, Dr. Chalice?
Yeah,
like, that's a dumb question.
It was the dirtiest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I was disgusted.
It was a great line. Yeah.
That's a stupid question.
But it comes out of nowhere because it's like they've been together
for the day.
There's no romantic buildup. They've been driving around this town asking questions, and they get back. He's like, all right, well, you know, I guess I can sleep in the car. And she's like, hey, why don't we F? You know? That's pretty much what it is.
Well, and he's, like A, her father was just brutally murdered.
Right,
he's,
that's the other thing.
He's
totally taking advantage of this girl.
He's at least 2 times her age, going on 3 times her age. They don't even know each other. As Jack is going to point out, she may or may not be a robot.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, yes.
She's not a robot.
And she happens to have sexy lingerie.
Well, and then Tom Atkins...
She packed for the trip.
So Tom Atkins is like, well, before we get it on, hold on. I wasn't kidding about that liquor store stuff. I really got to go to the liquor store. He does. He goes out to the liquor store and then doing some like keen detective work on his way back asks a hobo. He's literally a hobo. If he has any information, he gives a hobo some booze and is like, what's going on around here? You seem like the guy who knows.
You seem like a guy who has his ear to the ground.
Yeah. And then the hobo's like, I'm going to burn down that plant one of these days. Tom Atkins is like nodding, like staking his hand, like, uh-huh, okay, good stuff. Thanks. Okay. All right, got it. What is going on with that scene? I thought it was one of the craziest like interludes in this movie. Like, why is he even talking to this hobo? What information do we get from that scene?
That he wanted a job. And Cochran told him no when he brought in all outside people to work at the factory.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is funny because you see the factory scenes, they look all pretty like normal people.
Yeah, so the small town economics factors into the story.
They're all like, hey, I don't think they're robots.
So we've established that Cochran didn't want to hire a boozy hobo.
Right.
All right.
What kind of operation are you? What kind of operation are you running here, Cochran? Hire the hobo.
And he gets back to the Irish Parody Motel, and we get introduced to maybe the greatest character entrance we've had on Stop the Movie. Hi, I'm Marge Gutman. I'm from Union Square, San Francisco. Why don't you look me up sometime? Hey, I gotta go into my room. All right, talk to you later. We're friends now.
Why did she honk the horn at her?
I don't know.
She's like, the girl's walking outside. Sorry. Didn't mean to startle you.
I don't know.
Because getting out of the car and saying hello wouldn't suffice?
Have you ever imagined meeting someone this way, where someone just gushes all their personal information?
Wait a minute, I have exposition for you.
Yeah. Look me up sometime. Gotta go.
Pretty great.
Yeah. It's pretty, and now
so
things
Tom
get disgusting.
Come back.
And now,
yeah.
now
they
start
bang.
To become.
Come on, the hobo just had ripped off.
Okay.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. By more creepy guys in suits.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. There was no atmosphere for you. Atmosphere and anything like.
Okay. Why didn't those?
You need
guys...
a plot. You need to care about the characters. If it can't care about the characters, it's nothing.
We should have a running counter for how many times he said that.
I know.
We should have like a ding every time he says it.
We need a bell or something.
I'm home back.
I will say, I will pay this movie one compliment, and before we get into some of the biggest laughs I have in this movie, I'll pay it, which is I thought the movie looked good. I liked the cinematography. I liked a lot of the production design.
Yeah.
Not at the end, but through the first two-thirds of the movie, I thought the production design was pretty cool.
What was wrong in the end?
Their big master like lab,
yeah.
Which
it was like four computers in a circle.
Yeah, I think after they finished shooting that, a high school drama club came in and put on a production there. But it looks good. I think the movie actually visually does some interesting things. It just
right.
That's it. That's where things stop. That's where it ends.
So yeah, he goes back to the hotel room and he bangs. The 20-year-old.
Oh, this is the most.
And then it's.
And there's the great line, and Andy and I have been laughing about this all week, which is Tom Atkins says to the dead guy's daughter, "Hey, how old are you?"
That was the.
And her answer is, "Relax, I'm older than I look." Whoa. Whoa.
That's what it says on our license, older than I look.
Whoa.
Hey,
that's a t-shirt.
You know what?
She looks 18, but she could be younger.
But he says that to her after they've already slept together two times.
Right, right. They're going on the third time. And he's like,
yeah. This is disgusting.
Here's the part of the movie where I was confused.
Now, was she wearing that lingerie under her clothes whole time?
Oh, this is the part of the movie where you were confused?
Here's why I was confused. This movie is very good with its time cues.
Yeah.
And this is the part of the movie where I don't like. Are they just like going on a 3-day sex romp here? Because like literally like every scene like they're sleeping together and then like they cut to like Tom Atkins like talking on the phone with his lab assistant asking for information. Then like he goes back to the room and they start having sex again. And then even at one point the daughter's like, yeah, I still want to go to that factory and check in on what happened to my dad.
Your dad.
Who died died horribly 4 days
not
before.
To sleep in a sleazy motel and have sex all night.
With a stranger.
And we should mention, when they checked in, the comical parody, like, motel was, let me help you with your bags. Yeah, and she's like, well, this is really all I've got. She hands him
a
small picnic basket, which even like the comical Irish guy is like, well, that's a little ridiculous. But he carries it in. We then learn, apparently all that was in this was a lingerie. There seems to be no other luggage.
She had this weekend planned for a while. I'm convinced that this was just her. She liked Tom Atkins, and this whole murder investigation was really just a ruse to get Tom Atkins in a motel room alone.
It's a good thing Tom Atkins was cool sweeping with her. She'd be like, that's good, because all I brought was lingerie. I have nothing else.
So meanwhile, as they're doing it, there's a misfire next door.
Okay, so yes.
Fortunately, there wasn't a misfire in there.
Nice.
So the Marge character is a store owner. She's bought some masks to sell at her store, and there's this little microchip.
There's a tag on the mask. And at one point she goes, these things are so cheap, even the tag falls off, whatever. And so she puts it on her.
Here's my question real quick.
On her dresser.
Real quick. They show her at one point in the hotel room reading a book. And then they cut back to Tom Atkins and that girl. They have sex two different times.
Yes.
They cut back to Marge Gutman in another scene. She's like three pages into her book.
I noticed that too, yeah.
Is the quickest gun in the West. Or she's an extremely slow reader.
She's literally just starting the book.
Yeah.
Tom Atkins established how quick he was in the fog already. He had that one done quick. So he's
quick. God, he's the same character.
I mean, she was still reading the back cover. We got back. She's like, oh, I'm ready to start.
30 seconds later. Yeah. Whew, two times.
30 seconds later, October the 27th.
On Tuesday.
On Tuesday. So, yeah, she's messing with the microchip in this tag, and she gets a laser to the face.
Is it a laser? It is. Here's the thing.
It's a laser to her face, and then
it's Stonehenge voodoo.
It's a mechanical laser that shoots her in the face.
It happens so quickly, too. It's just like dead silence.
Yeah.
I must say, at least that was unexpected. Like, give him that.
Oh, it's pretty unexpected.
But then all of a sudden there's bugs.
I never would have thought a blue light would shoot into her face.
What was great was about that was...
And then there's bugs coming out of her face for no reason.
That too, she got zapped in the face. And then when they go, the effect of the bugs coming out...
There's no burns on her.
No burns, but she's laying down. Her blanket is perfectly over the top of her.
Yes.
With her hands out like this. So yeah, really? She's got this laser in her face. She laid back, put the blanket over her.
She looked like a dog that was rolled over wanting a stomach pad.
I'm gonna sleep this off.
I was very unclear if she was alive or not at that point. I thought she was dead, but then she kind of looked like she might still be hanging on. And then a giant ant crawled out of her mouth.
For no reason.
Yeah, we have a
lot. It gets somewhat explained later, but not really.
I know what the whole plan was, but if I was a kid at that time and I got one of these masks, the first thing I was going to do was cut that stupid-looking fucking tag.
I know.
Wait, we're going to come back to this. You know what the plan was?
Well, now I do.
You got this big St. Patrick's Day shirt.
After watching it 18 times the past 2 years.
But I think as a kid, I would cut that tag off. Be like, okay, this is gone. That's the first thing coming off. I'm not keeping this freaking silver shamrock tag on.
Because a kid could choke on a tag, actually. In fact, usually when you buy masks or toys, particularly for young children, there's often a warning saying, this tag is not a toy. Cut it off. Choking hazard.
Oh, yeah.
Sewer cover.
It's not really a tag. It was more like a branding, you know.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It was like a pin.
But I would, like I said, you cut that off. The mask is just a mask now. So I think everybody was safe, actually. I don't think the plan would have worked.
Or did
it? Actually might have worked.
We're going to have to get into what the plan was, because we're going to have a Wicker Man style conversation at the end of this of exactly what was going on. So they, start to realize, somehow something happens and they have to go outside and,
Well, they get done banging again and they hear the commotion outside because there's an ambulance there now. And and they come out and there's an ambulance and there's, all these paramedics and stuff. And Tom Atkins is like, wait, I'm a doctor. He wants to get in there and.
Yeah. Let me look at Marge Gunderson from San Francisco or Gutman from San Francisco.
Marge Gunderson.
They come outside and everyone's dousing themselves with gasoline and line themselves on fire. Oh.
We've been caught. Tom Atkins.
Everybody, burn yourself.
So, and then, what's his name? Cochran comes up. He pulls up in his limo and he's like, it's okay, everybody. We're good. Let's all calm down. Like, for some reason, he just shows up to this.
Yeah.
This terrible.
This random motel.
Accident or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. The owner of Silver Shimmer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why has he got to be there?
Because it's a misfire.
Yeah.
Okay. Misfire. Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So, rightfully so, Dr. Tom Atkins and young girl character find this suspicious. And he has one of my other favorite lines in the movie. He's like, "You pack. I'll call the police." And I'm like, pack what?
Well, yeah,
pack what? You came here with nothing. You've already established you
came
here with nothing.
Well, they're going to steal some hotel towels and some soaps. They could pack those.
Well, no, they're not leaving yet. They haven't gone to the plant yet.
Oh, that's true. Okay, yeah. That's true.
You gotta go to the plant first.
You know what was also funny? Like, I just thought of this when I was thinking about the sexy lingerie. There's just so many things in this movie that they bring up that don't lead anywhere. Like, when they're first going into the motel room and the Irish guy is like, "And the shower is good too. Just replaced the pipes a month ago." And then they show, like, her taking a shower at one point and coming out of it. Like, why?
Yeah, why? Yeah. Why? Yeah.
Why was she, they show her taking, going out of the shower and then putting on?
And why?
It's an 80s horror.
And why did the hotel owner even feel the need to say that? He's, in his head, he's like, "Oh, these folks will be dead in a week or dead in a few days. They don't care if the pipes have new showers, new pipes or any of that."
I appreciate just little things like that. Like, yeah. You just put in like 2 pages of dialogue about the shower that has absolutely no bearing on anything.
Yeah. So they do. They go to the Silver Shamrock factory, and
the thing that they where they came here to do originally that they're now getting to 4 days later.
They finally get around to it.
I think we're now prepared to go to the one place in this town.
They find out the order was picked up.
Yep.
Well, they
and drove away.
Yeah, yeah. There's another character we haven't mentioned yet too. The guy with the RV and his wife and his kid.
Yeah.
Yes. Who almost hit him?
Who
almost hit Tom Atkins?
Oh, yeah.
We're also there to pick up an order or something, or to meet.
He was also
super friendly.
Yeah, he's
Salesman
like
of the
Year.
Willy Wonka of this town.
And Cochran's going to give him a tour of the factory. Yeah. And so that just happens to be when they finally show up to the factory.
And there's a great line when the Salesman of the Year guy is like, "Hey, we're going to get a tour. That's great. Hey, come on, kids. We're going on a tour. You know what? Why don't these two people we just met? Hey, you guys want to go on the tour? Everybody on the tour."
Like, okay. And in the show, Tom Atkins, he looks like kind of like delighted by the fact. He's like, "Oh, okay. Yeah. That sounds fun."
Yeah.
And Cochran's like, "Yeah, I was just about to ask them."
He's like, "That really wasn't the way the tour works, but all right. I don't. It's a little awkward if I say no."
And you find out that he was a toy maker. He got to start making novelty gag gifts.
Right,
gag gifts. He knows mechanics. He knows robotics.
I don't know if that was a
wait. No.
That's a big jump right there. You just made.
That is not established.
You made a huge jump right there.
That is not established.
Like, he made his fortune like making dildos and gag gifts. I don't know if that qualifies you for mechanics.
And then
squirting
they
flowers and hand buzzers.
They take them through, you know, and we go through the Don Post, you know, mask making process where they actually just shot some of this.
Which is intriguing. It was intriguing to kind of see that.
The tour was so lame, too. It was like, we pour the latex in here and it comes out over there.
Yeah, there's an explanation. It's like,
and then we paint it here.
Yeah. Who knows what the hell those guys are doing?
Yeah, and then that was it. That was like all the tour.
Then he came to see Final Processing. What tall kind of tour is this?
Well, the Salesman of the Year is like, "What's that Final Processing area?" And he's like, "Oh, that's secret.
Trade secret."
And I'm like, "Really? Because you're showing me a finished mask right here. like this mask is good to go, you know?"
What really was the last thing?
It was putting the chip in.
Just taking this piece of stone stuff. Oh, I don't want to blow up. Sorry.
Is it
when they're leaving that the girl sees her dad's car?
Yeah, it's this great moment here because they notice all the Tom Atkins knows all the robots. Like,
did he like the one robot that was like standing in the closet, in this tiny little broom closet?
He's like, I see some men that looked like the one that killed your father, so they decide to leave awkwardly.
Yeah.
And just as they're walking by, they open up, and some reason they got Papa's car in that little garage for some freaking reason. I don't know why. But...
Well, I love how she runs up to it, and she's like 2 feet from the car, and then after the leave, she's like, I saw his car. I know I saw his car. You were so close to it, you could touch it. Of course you saw it.
Talk about leaving evidence around. They have the guy's freaking car.
Right there. Yeah, so
like, they didn't burn that.
Again, Garner's like, you had one job. Light it on fire. It's our answer for everything.
It was great, too.
Jenkins lit himself on fire. You can't light the car on fire.
All they had to do in the office when they came and said, hey, did my father pick up his order? All they say was, no, he never showed up. And that'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That would end it all right there.
I was wondering if there was a whole subplot where Cochran was like, hey, this car's not that bad. I can get like a grand for this if I sell it used. If we chop
this baby up.
If we just get a shop vac in there, clean it up a little. Like that's...
Yes, Mr. Cochran, we can have these parts in the streets by sundown.
Yeah. So that's when they go back to the hotel and he tells her to pack up her lingerie. And he'll call the police.
And now, okay, you also have to wonder too, like this whole town, you saw shop owners and all that. Now, are they all robots or are they just normal people cool with what's going on at the plant?
You tell me, you know, fan like, of this movie. I don't know.
Curfew.
Yeah.
Please refrain to your own houses.
Refrain to your own
houses. Refrain your activities to your own houses. And yeah. It's like, so
that means no sex, Tom Atkins.
Yeah, everybody's in town like, okay, that's cool. I'm cool with this.
They're all complacent. They're good little sheep.
I guess. And then they just... Okay, and I didn't really understand this. So then they kidnap.
Oh, he goes.
The girl,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
So he goes to the manager's office or whatever to call the police at the hotel, and that's when he comes back and the girl's missing.
Well, and the whole time, he calls up the chick too. The whole time she's been trying to.
Oh yeah,
she's been sifting gears.
Yes, yeah.
She's like burnt person.
I haven't
car.
Found the person yet. I haven't found the human remains yet. All I keep finding are these gears and parts from a robot. I don't call back a little later.
And what's great is like just looking at it, and she's looking at some gear, and all of a sudden she figures it out.
Oh my god!
Yeah. She's like that one gear.
Then she picks up. Let me have the sheriff be like, what did you just
like,
see?
Is the sheriff even going to believe you? This little gear is from a robot that set itself on fire in the parking lot. And he's going to be like, what?
I recognize this gear is the thing you put in place of the elbow.
I want to ask Andy a
dumb
question.
That was a
good
kill. I like that kill, too, though.
Oh,
wait,
when
which
they,
kill?
The drill.
With the
drill
chick, kill. The redheaded chick.
Oh, the
I
girl
like how
who's
they framed
sifting
I like
through
how they
the gears.
It. It's pretty
yeah.
cool.
Oh.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, so now the robots have now kidnapped the young girl. Mm-hmm. And Tom Atkins is also on the run. Why did the Silver Shamrock people not just kidnap the girl and Tom Atkins when they were in the Silver Shamrock factory?
That's an excellent point.
I guess because they didn't know until she saw the car. They're like, oh, okay.
Really?
They're
the Silver Shamrock
they still
people?
Let them leave.
They're on to us.
They
now,
were surrounded.
So we gotta
yeah,
get
they
them.
Were surrounded.
Well, but then Buddy Sr. would have known.
He's
they
also
kill him
kidnapped.
10 minutes later.
Yeah, he's kidnapped too.
They kept
yes,
him. They
you're
kept him
over
in the factory.
So much stuff.
This one is nothing.
Everyone who was on the tour wound up kidnapped, but like they waited for them.
They let them go. They let them lead the tour, you know, and then like re-kidnap them.
Yeah, don't give them a good show first. First, we give them a good tour. They exit through the gift shop. Then we kidnap them. So dumb. I kept trying to even thinking about this plan. Like in hindsight, it's so dumb.
Oh God!
Well, the family didn't even know they were kidnapped.
No, they just locked them and they're like, "Oh, let's watch this
they
commercial."
They thought it was a second tour.
They're locked in this room, kind of like, "Oh, we're cool with this."
Well, there's a great
we're
line
cool
too.
In this windowless room.
Yeah. The salesman's like, "I don't understand. I wanted to place my order for next year. They're not even interested in my order. Why won't they take my order?"
I'm the salesman of the year.
And there's another filler here where she says a joke that's not really funny, and then she laughs for like. Freaking 17 fucking minutes and
oh yeah, this
she
is...
says something.
Oh, the wife.
She's yeah. going like that.
Yeah,
and the kid's like dying in front of the TV.
So that yeah, so they lock. Well, they okay. So they lock the salesman.
Well, this is where we get the,
well, we're
the
getting
evil
a
plan
ahead.
Reveal.
We're
we
getting a
little
ahead, but we'll cover this. They
no,
lock...
no, they lock him. And they do this before they kidnap.
Oh, I
have
it in my notes before. I don't, okay, well,
I
they,
think
so,
yeah.
They lock
okay.
the salesman, his wife, and the salesman's kid in this windowless room.
Meanwhile, Tom Atkins has. Been caught snooping around looking for his girlfriend. He encounters this old woman who's a robot.
Oh, did that happen?
Yeah.
Then Cochran's like, it's a shame
no,
you
not,
broke that. That
yet?
Was a very rare piece yeah. from the 1700s, but I've perfected my technique. Then he says, look
well,
at what
well,
we're going
to reveal. Because Cochran
oh,
then reveals.
Right.
They're building robots.
Atkins is
yeah.
watching it. That's
yeah,
right.
And they reveal everyone.
And they've got Stonehenge stone in the freaking
well, hold on.
Lair.
We gotta get into that. That everyone
wait,
in the factory is a robot.
There's nothing this.
Well, after, okay, so Tom Atkins is trying to find the young girl who was kidnapped. He goes back to the Silver Shamrock Factory, where they just were, by the way, where everyone just was. He sneaks into Silver Shamrock, and then that's when it's revealed. He gets caught that all these guys are robots, that Cochran is making robots. And then Cochran is like, ha-ha, wait till you see the most brilliant piece. We've got a rock from Stonehenge here. You won't believe how we got it here.
I love that line.
And I'm like,
you won't believe how we got
it. I'm really like, you know what? Don't tell. I'm like, if you tell me, I'm going to punch the TV because this is so stupid.
That's why I said
And then they're taking little chips off and they're putting the little flakes of Stonehenge stone into the microchips that they put in the silver shamrock tags that look like St. Patrick's Day that they're putting on Halloween masks.
And if that doesn't make sense to you, feel good about your life, because it should not make a lick of sense to anyone.
So he makes Tom Atkins watch the demise of Buddy and his family.
So there's this kid who was the mask.
So they
on.
Like Clockwork Orange him to a
TV
in a chair.
And they roll.
They, now are they broadcasting a magical spell? What exactly are they broadcasting?
Well, so they
this
make the kid has the mask on, and they play this TV spot,
which is played about 17 times already through the
it's
movie.
It's like once per scene that commercial.
Yeah.
Plays.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, all you ghosts and goblins and witches.
Put on your mask. Watch the flashing jack-o'-lantern.
Make sure you put on your mask for the 9 o'clock special drawing or prize drawing.
The big giveaway.
So the kid puts it on, and all of a sudden, the kid's... What happens
here? I think
it's
some okay. A message to the TV or something. Yeah. Send, a message like a signal sets the chip off, and it... So zap him.
The chip makes his face melt, and then cobras, an unholy number of cobras like and poisonous and... spiders slither out of what used to be his mouth hole.
His face, right? I'm making
mouth hole.
I mean,
that be his mouth.
This is like what
we sometimes refer to it as a mouth.
No, I was.
You got a big mouth hole, Jack.
Depends where you're from, you know.
I meant the mask's mouth hole.
The mouth hole.
But so a mechanical laser then turns his face into snakes.
Zaps him.
Now I was hoping
it's got an ancient spell in there.
Now, okay. I was hoping maybe something would happen where, like, he'd turn around and, like, break the TV and, like, use the glass to murder his own parents, and that it would be, like, mind control with the masks?
Nope, that would have been a better movie.
That would make more sense than snakes coming out and, like, biting people.
Well, first of all, the salesman's wife apparently dies of fainting.
Fainting, right.
She just dies.
And the other guy gets bitten by a snake.
And the dad, like, doesn't even check on his son. He's like, I'm getting the hell out of here.
And he just gets bit by a snake that came out of what was his son's head.
Mouth hole.
Yes, his mouth hole.
Dies.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Tom Atkins is watching all this.
Snake bite.
And he's, of course...
A snake bite from a snake that was your son's head until a mechanical laser shot his head.
It's witchcraft, for Christ's sake. Don't you understand?
Then why is there mechanical lasers?
Yeah, why is there a laser?
Why is it sci-fi? Why are there robots?
All these tags can be triggered across the country by this commercial. It's the ultimate joke on the kids. Don't
that's,
you fucking listen
that,
to
it? Well, that's
my French. I keep swearing.
That's the great point, because Tom Atkins...
I'm getting pissed, that's why.
Excuse your Irish.
Because Tom Atkins at some point is like, look, I'm Tom Atkins. Clearly I'm a big lug. I don't... Why is this happening?
Are there any 20-year-olds I can sleep with? Look at that.
How old are you? I'm younger
I'm
than
older
I am.
I do like, at one point he like gets free of these guys, whatever, and he like finds a phone and he calls his wife again.
Oh, that was great.
Tell the kids to take off the masks. What are you, crazy? Tell them to take off the masks.
Yelling at him over the phone.
You're jealous of the masks I bought them.
That's how the alcohol came into play, because you go, they're drunk.
It's like, God, why did I bring that suits back? Well, and so Tom Atkins asks Cochran, the guy who's running this whole thing, he's like, why are you doing this? And he's like, well, I do love a good joke. Where if I'm Tom Atkins, I'd be like, okay, I get that. Same question, though. Why are you doing this?
The joke is Michael Myers isn't
explained it. He said the whole thing. These ancient rituals. And...
Hold on. We're going
to
take
a break. But there's still no... Is he trying to take over the world?
Hold on. Nobody interrupt Andy Wolf. I want to hear this. Why Why is the Silver Shamrock Company hoping to turn the heads of every child in America into a snake?
Sacrifice. In the old days, the Jews would sacrifice children.
But what did the Silver Shamrock Company...
That's what Halloween was about. And it's been bastardized into this costume-wearing, candy-grabbing thing. So now Cochran's going to set it straight back to what it originally was.
What are they getting out of it?
A good year.
What?
But then after that, what happened?
What, they just
can you do it again?
Like anyone's gonna buy his masks again?
No, if they do this, they're killing off their entire like consumer base.
Yeah, you don't care about consumer.
This isn't a profit-driven company.
It's right. It's
Wouldn't it make more sense if he used his army of robots to take over the world?
Based on principles on ancient druid tradition.
How do these masks get so popular, by the way?
I don't know. They're not that good, really.
No. There's like three versions.
And there's only one version.
They've only been around
for a while. If a girl wants to be a witch, no boy wants to be a witch. There's only one female mask. I mean, that's kind of unfair.
Well, you also get these weird lines from Cochran of these, where he talks about just all this nonsense of like, we don't decide these things, the planets do.
Right.
And the planets are in alignment again.
That's what he's explaining to you. The planets are in alignment. This does not explain it.
And how did he know that Stonehenge would turn children's heads into snakes?
You can't explain everything in a movie, okay? Something just got to go. The power of the Stonehenge. He said there's power in that in the Stonehenge.
So okay, wait, wait.
Why doesn't he use the power to like run like his factory without having to pay for
energy?
So
when they used to like sacrifice children, everyone had to go to Stonehenge and like chip little flakes off and then like
create lasers
and watch TV.
So what was the Silver Shamrock Company going to be doing the day after Halloween had their plan gone?
I don't know.
Can you imagine how much?
I don't know. You have to look at Druid
law and find out.
Look at the Druid calendar.
Let's see what's happening. I don't know. Something would happen.
We're having a good harvest.
The stock would have plummeted.
I'll research it later and tell you on the next podcast.
Okay, we'll hold you to that.
We're now hoping to.
Every time they sacrifice, like in The Wicker Man, they sacriced him for a good.
Well, that was one guy.
Were dying.
Or whatever, yeah,
because they were sacrificing for a good. What were the Silver Shamrock people getting? At least in The Wicker Man, they were hoping for a good crop.
And most of them
were
robots anyway.
People getting
what do robots care about druids?
Yeah,
most of them are robots.
Was he? Was at the until like November 1st? Was going to be like, we will now move into our Beanie Baby phase. We produce lovable stuffed animals.
25 days till Thanksgiving.
So they show Halloween again in the movie at this point. Because
they strap Tom Atkins to a chair with the mask on.
Yeah.
And I guess after all the little kids watch Halloween, which is a, you know, I don't know if little kids should be watching Halloween. But anyway, after they all watch Halloween, the ad is going to play and is going to turn them all into snakes. So he's tied Tom Atkins to a chair and left him in a room, an easily escapable room. So he can go off and do villain things, and he put a mask on his head,
this
so he'll turn to snakes
I've
too.
Seen.
So dumb, the dumbest thing.
So
dumb.
This is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. This was brilliant in its stupidity.
I can't remember how he got out of the rope. How did he get untied? Or he didn't get untied at first, did he?
He just broke the TV.
He over to the TV and kicks it.
Before he even gets untied himself, he hits the mask off, right? Doesn't he do it?
No, it's after he breaks the...
Or is it before?
No, he flings it. He's tied up when he flings that mask. I remember being like...
He's tied up.
He's tied up and he flings the mask. He's got the mask.
Yeah, how did he get the mask off?
Get closer to the mic.
Yeah.
He breaks the TV.
Right. He breaks the TV.
Grabs a shard of glass, like cuts his hands free, and then gets the mask off with
and
his hands.
And tosses it
onto
it.
But his arms are still tied.
Still tied up.
Yeah.
And he kind of flings it up.
And it lands perfectly on the...
On the security camera.
Like,
Yeah.
Like, it took him like 40 takes to get that too.
I bet it did.
At that point, you've been like, okay, this is too unrealistic.
Didn't see it.
Yeah, no one was watching that.
He's on a 10-minute customer service call.
Right.
Yeah. So
I like how the one robot sees like the security camera is clearly blocked, and he goes over to Cochran. He's like, Mr. Cochran. He's like, just a second. Yes, Mr. Miller, we will have your order ready. And then like they cut back to Tom Atkins doing like a million things, and like 10 minutes later, he's still talking to the guy.
And you're also like, who is he talking to? It's presumably 8 o'clock on Halloween night. Store is like
the show's most right. Yeah.
Gee, I wonder when my order of Halloween masks is coming in. Which, by the way, we closed 4 hours ago.
Now, what was that, Jenkins? The security camera in the room where you put Tom Atkins has been dark for about the past 15 minutes. Probably not there anymore.
Yeah. So Tom Atkins is skulking around this terrible set that looks like it's would have been rejected by most 60s TV shows.
Can I say something here, too? This isn't something... You almost have to, like, rewatch this to notice this. Tom Atkins touches every wall.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Whenever he's sneaking around, he like touches the wall. And then in the one scene where we talked about before, where he ends up calling his ex-wife, he goes in the room. I'm like, God, he's gonna have to touch a wall. And then he like sees the wall. And he's like,
I'm convinced it's because Tom Atkins is in such bad shape. He's like.
I think he has to touch every wall.
One of the best things ever too happens in this scene.
He's into the wall was going to be the
when they get
title
into
movie.
The factory, where it's not the factory, the finishing room or whatever. Where all the guys are with the computers and they're monitoring everything, and Stonehenge is there.
The Doctor Strangelove room.
Yeah, and they decide. They decide him and the girl. He finally gets the girl back, and they need to get to the other side of the room. So they walk. Behind a cart of like Halloween masks.
And they walk with it.
They walk across the room behind this cart in full plain view of all the robots on the computers. And it's like you see this cart like moving across the room.
Yeah.
Like in a Scooby Doo cartoon.
Yeah.
Oh, that made me laugh.
So then things start happening that make no sense. It's just somehow, Tom Atkins, who we've never seen use a computer, and we've never seen in this room before.
No, he's in the room when he's watching Buddy being killed.
Oh, when he's watching. Okay.
Yeah. So he did see them. He did see them.
He sees them.
He memorized the sequence.
But luckily, he knows exactly how to operate their druid computer and just makes it blow up or starts the commercial.
And then he makes it rain on them with all the tags.
Yeah, he runs up to the catwalk. And they start zapping everyone.
Yeah, so all of a sudden, mechanical lasers start zapping all these robots who seemingly would be unaffected by a magic if it's all witchcraft. Like, I don't know if a robot's head can turn into snakes.
Well, they didn't, so I guess they couldn't.
No, they started spitting up applesauce, because that's like the robot blood.
Yeah.
It was actually orange juice.
And then Stonehenge comes alive. I had that in the trivia. Starts glowing. Oh.
Why did Stonehenge come alive?
The computer circle became a big laser.
Well, I was about to say if this thing
all the power in Stonehenge was activated now by the signal from the computer.
And then Cochran like salutes him like thank you for
so
doing
Stonehenge
this.
It wasn't the signal from the computer.
He has like this little
like claps, yeah.
Little chip in that.
But it wasn't
little piece of Stonehenge in that chip does what it does. Now this whole big Stonehenge is being
but
activated.
Why around the computers? Why is it circling? Why is the computer become a
I was hoping it was going to become a pentacle star. I was like this thing becomes a pentacle star.
We're going to come back to this. So the big Stonehenge thing gets activated, and then, if we believe this movie, also gets reactivated a little while later?
No.
Who activated it at the end of the movie?
No, I think it's just, it gets activated
and that's it.
When it kills Cochran.
Right.
Okay, and it never...
And I think it, like...
Then the factory starts going up.
Yeah, like, overloads, because it's the whole Stonehenge. It's not just one piece of chip. I think it's because of the whole thing.
Okay, but so it doesn't have to be involved in playing... The commercial, when the commercial plays later in the movie?
No, because those chips are already in the tag.
Yeah, those chips are in the tag already.
I think. I don't know.
So the Stonehenge
doesn't have to be intact in order for their plan to work.
No, they're taking little chips of the Stonehenge and putting it in the tag.
But then why did Stonehenge go crazy when Tom Atkins played the commercial?
Because the signal was going... I don't know why I'm defending this, but the signal was
coming
out of the commercial. The commercial was playing whatever subliminal signal there was, and it... usually activates a little chip, but because the whole rock was there, it activated the entire Stonehenge rock.
I thought the rock would activate. Here's my next question. So why is that even possible? So then when you're building this computer, you'd be like, the one failsafe, you know what the one thing we can't let happen is? Play the commercial that sets this whole thing off.
Right.
That's the one thing. Right. Luckily, it's the one thing Tom Atkins is able to walk in and make it do.
He hits like 8 different buttons to make it happen. It's a complex sequence.
This is like, it's like when you're in a space movie and there's a big button that says self-destruct.
Right, do not touch.
So then Tom Atkins, in a twist that makes zero sense, finds out that the young girl, Ellie, is a robot.
Yes.
I wish they would cut that whole
thing. Here we go.
This was just like Blade Runner.
I think they did this.
Was she a robot the whole time?
No, she wasn't a robot.
Last scare was last four scares.
First of all, this makes no sense anyway, but Jack proposed a theory as we were walking up here.
This is just like Blade Runner.
It makes more sense to believe that she was a robot the whole time.
Not really, because there'd be no reason for her to go to the factory and take Tom.
But when did they make her into a robot? Did they kidnap her and build her into a robot in, what, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. So you're saying in ten minutes they made the molds,
yes,
constructed the mechanics,
witchcraft,
and built a robot of Ellie.
They replicated her voice.
You can think of any of your favorite movies and
injected her personality somehow into the hard drive.
And they did that.
It's not reality, guys. It's a movie.
Did that in 10 minutes. I noticed. By the way,
move past this point because it doesn't matter.
By the way, at this point in the movie, they've stopped doing the 1 hour later.
Yeah, like, where you actually kind of wanted to know how much time has passed. Yeah. No need to.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That means Tom Atkins had sex with a robot?
No, because she wasn't a robot.
I think she was.
According to Andy Wolf's theory,
there'd be no reason for her to be a robot.
Yeah,
there'd be no reason
for her. She would be a robot.
Why would she be a robot now? There's no reason for her
to be a robot at the end of the movie.
Although that would explain why they didn't go to the factory until like 4 days into their stay in Santa Mira.
She's distracting him.
What is?
But why would she let him destroy the whole place if she was a robot?
She's a robot from that point on. She did help him destroy.
Yeah, she helped
their setup as a robot. Right.
Yeah,
as a robot.
Right. That makes no sense.
Okay. And why was
that real clear?
Like I said, I wish they didn't go that route because it doesn't make much sense.
And why were the Silver Shamrock people on the biggest night, the night when all this comes together? Cochran was like, okay, this is it. Everything comes together in like an hour. You know what? I'm going to divert half my people to making a robot that looks like that young girl who came in with Tom Atkins. Yeah. All of my best people, you're on that project.
We need this done in 10 minutes. Chop.
Get those molds made. If by my planning, you've got 2.5 minutes to make the molds, three minutes to pour the molds, and then 4 minutes to put it together.
Wait, so if they made her into a robot, is there like...
Yeah, is she still alive somewhere?
Still
alive somewhere? Yeah.
Is the girl...
Does it really matter?
Does anything in this movie matter?
No, because it's a horror movie.
Oh, I thought you were going to say...
It's a horrible movie.
God, I thought you were going to say it's a video game movie, that this was based on a video game, so everything was okay. Okay. So Tom Atkins fights with robot Ellie, and then...
Like six times!
Has like a second hilarious fight with robot Ellie's arm.
Oh my God.
And then there's a third one, because the body on the ground
It reminded me of like Evil Dead... Bruce Campbell's like
hand.
And he runs out and hilariously runs to the same gas station from the beginning. I freaked out. I'm like, gas station guy is back in this movie? That was what this was all set up to? And he even said,
because
like,
I know you.
And Tom Atkins walks in like a spaz. He's like, your phone, where is it? And he's like, don't I know you?
Not again.
So there's kids in this gas station.
Because everyone trick-or-treats at gas stations.
Yeah. Oh, I can't.
And then Tom Atkins calls the one phone number that could control every TV station in America.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
And the kids are wearing masks. So kids in the gas station wearing masks. And
conveniently, there's one of each mask represented.
And like the thing starts to come on the TV like, hey, kids, it's almost time for the big prize drawing.
Look at the screen.
Yeah, all of you witches and skeletons and pumpkins.
And
look at the screen.
That's all the mess we made.
Yeah, we only had three molds. All we could afford. Anyone who wanted to be a superhero, tough luck.
All of our money was tied up in robot making.
So Tom Atkins is on the phone.
With who knows?
Who knows?
Turn off the commercial. Everyone's going to die.
Could you imagine being at a TV station? Okay. I mean, we work in TV. Having someone call the newsroom and be like, you guys stop that commercial airing right now. It's going to kill everybody. Be like, no.
Here's the great part,
they
though,
paid for this spot.
They turn it off. Apparently, there's only three channels in the whole city.
In the whole country.
Yeah, they turn off the one. Well, he's like watching it, and they turn the commercial off. They change the channel, and then the explaining guy's like, "You gotta turn the second one off too." And then they turn that one off too, and then they get to the third one. He's like, "Yeah, turn the third one off too." And then like it just keeps playing. It's like
the
person
guy's like, "Turn it off, turn it off. You gotta turn it off."
The person on the other line's like, "All right, I'll turn off two of them, but the third one's pushing it, buddy."
You know what?
They pay good money for that 30.
CBS stays on.
I'm putting my foot down.
And by the way, so there's these kids with masks watching us, and the promo is starting to play that's going to make all the kids' heads turn to snakes. You know what Tom Atkins is not doing while
turning
this is
off
going
the TV.
On?
Getting the masks
taking
off the, kids.
Masks off the kids.
Or turning the TV off.
He's
yeah,
frantically
running.
Just screaming, stopping into a phone. Well, but these kids are just standing there with masks on.
He wanted to save everybody, not just three kids.
But he could save three kids.
Could have
world.
Could have saved three
both.
Kids. Yeah, could have just pulled the mask off
and
the
themselves
because
those
like,
snakes
yeah.
are going
to
kill
he could
them.
He
could have
been too. Like, excuse me, could you turn those ads off and pull the masks off their heads?
Yeah, he could have yeah. multitasked. Yeah.
No, seriously, it's going to kill everybody. Please yeah. turn it off. Yeah. All three stations, yes.
So dumb.
And you have the you have the power dumb. To shut off all TV stations all over the country.
Yeah. And the final
what about
joke,
cable?
The final joke I'm going to make in this movie, and Andy and I talked about this week, is we should set up, they make it very clear as you're watching the movie that this is a nationwide plan because they show you kids wearing
right,
the masks
right, all over the
like all over the country. Now, and they make a big point that this is happening in California and that the big prize drawing comes on at 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, this is.
What about time zone?
Like, yeah, like I didn't think about that.
That would be 1 o'clock yeah. in the morning or midnight for anyone in the East Coast. So. Sleeping.
Sleep with your mask on. Make sure you sleep with your mask on.
Make sure you sleep with your mask on and the TV on.
That actually would have been the greatest thing ever. They're like, Silver Shamrock Drawing tonight at 9, or no, midnight Eastern. 10 Central. 9 if you're on the West Coast.
I guess there's one minor flaw in the plan.
If you live in parts of Arizona, make sure you know which time zone you're in.
Maybe or if you live in Europe.
There's a separate drawing for each time zone. They already did it in the East Coast and in the right. Central time zone. They just hadn't gotten the news yet.
Right.
That's and the people on the East Coast didn't tell anybody.
Right.
Like, hey, that mask turned my kid's head to snakes. I wonder if we should tell anyone. So
I can't imagine the thought process behind writing this movie.
I am mystified by this movie.
What? It went through three writers, I guess.
Shocking.
Well, it looks like there's three movies here.
I think they needed either a lot less or a lot more, one or the other.
Apparently, I was like a Deborah Hill thought, like witchcraft.
Well, I could see the genesis of it.
Current technology type of thing.
It's Halloween masks, so it's Halloween themed witchcraft. People think about witching on Halloween, so I get it.
But where do the robots come
in? I don't know.
Why were there robots? Why wouldn't they just be henchmen?
Why are they robots?
I guess they're, I don't know. Who knows? It's cool. It's a robot. It's cool.
It's not cool. It's not.
Save that for Halloween 4.
It was like somebody watched Westworld and was like, oh, I like Westworld. And I like witchcraft. And I like Halloween. And I like masks.
And I like Ireland.
I like Irish accents. Let's put them all in one movie. I like Stonehenge. So dumb.
I like station wagons.
So
I like
terrible.
Alcohol.
And twins.
So yeah, that hopefully brings us to a close, and hopefully there will never
be. Because the movie just ends after that.
Oh, it just
ends.
It ends
with Tom Atkins yelling to turn the station.
Just
off.
Screaming, stop it! I was also screaming, stop it! But I was talking about the movie.
Yeah, they wanted to end like the Invasion of the Body Snatchers ended. That's what the whole premise was there.
Yeah, great way. This movie
they're
is
coming for you, or whatever he says. That's kind of what they're going for there.
Yeah, I
think, like the end actually. It's pretty cool.
Oh, but I really think this is like a modern day Invasion of the Body Snatchers. They nailed it.
That was just like when Donald Sutherland was pointing at the girl.
I like the ending in that I like the concept of dropping it to black while the main character is desperately pleading for help. I like that aspect of it. That I liked. Even though, but again, when you think about it, though, he could have just turned the TV off to at least save those kids, which he didn't bother to do. But I like that shot where he's screaming, he's helpless, and it cuts to black, and it's going to happen anyway. That I like.
I like Jack's concept of this movie was if the masks were some kind of mind control.
And then the kids killed their own parents.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
That would have been interesting to me.
As long as they're wearing the masks, they can be controlled by the mastermind.
Yeah, I would have seen that movie.
Yeah,
kind of like a reverse Pied Piper, like all the kids leave, but instead of going to kill the kids are going to kill the parents. That would have been really creepy.
Yeah. I also would love to have seen a sequel where Tom Atkins is prosecuted for like statutory rape or whatever went on.
Yeah, but it's a robot though, so really does it count?
It wasn't a robot. That would be his defense.
Actually, there's maybe Jack has a point because she does never gives her age. She just says, "I'm younger than I think." She's like, "I just rolled off the assembly line last week, Tom Atkins." So this week, So Wrong It's Right, I think I actually gave this away to Andy Wolf, so he will not be eligible.
Andy knows everything about this movie.
There is a cameo, or how does Jamie Lee Curtis factor in?
I heard her voice and I thought it was Jamie
was
Lee
it,
Curtis.
Was it?
She's okay. The announcer, right?
This phone line is dead. Is she that woman?
She's the
curfew. Number you're trying to reach.
I think she's also that number, but she's the curfew announcer.
Okay, yep.
Mm. Yeah. So
I didn't know that. You brought that up. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of a fun.
He uses her that way in the thing too.
And in Escape from New York.
Yes. Yeah.
He's always slipping around. He didn't direct Halloween 3, but
yeah. No, but he was on it as producer.
He was obviously very involved.
Yeah.
Felt like a John Carpenter movie.
It did, and
it looks good. The cinematography is good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
What a film!
What a train wreck!
You gotta watch it every Halloween.
Why would you choose to watch that one over like
the first one?
The better.
I do watch those.
I'd rather watch Halloween Resurrection because at least it has Michael Myers in it.
He watches the first three very frequently.
Yeah.
You like four too. You watch
four is easy.
Yeah, you watch four with some. Yeah. I don't know why you watch this so much, although. He did win me over. So Andy lent me this disc that was the first to watch it, and he was like, "You're going to want to watch the special features." And I immediately was like, "I am not going to watch those."
You said you were going to, yeah.
And then after watching it and just being reminded of how insane it was, I was like, I think I really do want to see what people have to say about this. Like, if there's any explanation of anything that happens in this movie, you know.
There's not a director commentary, is there?
Yeah. I think there is a commentary.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
There's commentary, and there's like, a location thing,
and then there's
how they made it. Yeah, just the featurette and making.
Was it a commentary with just Tommy Lee Wallace, or was it?
I think Tom Atkins is on. Oh no, Tom Atkins has like his own commentary.
Some of those scenes. I don't know. If I want to know what he's thinking.
Yeah, that might be better not listen to in portions. Although there's portions where I'd love to know what he was. I'd love if he's just like. Yeah, I had a movement coach who was telling me that it was good for me to touch environments if I was trying to look sneaky. So I did it for everything.
Yeah. Including the woman.
I took that advice to heart. All right, so that's we have a couple of plugs to make in this episode. Oh. Well, first of all, our own Andy Wolf and Cody Wolf have a very special project available now, Monster Mansion Memories.
Available now.
Why don't you describe it, Andy?
You describe it, Cody.
It is a documentary about Monster Movie Matinee, which was a show filmed in this very building back in the, 60s, 70s, and 80s?
Yeah. It was an afternoon, 60s. Like a kind of a horror-hosted horror host show. You know, where they would play the horror movie and there would be host segments in between out of Syracuse.
The host was the father of a woman I work with now.
Yeah.
So he did this documentary about him and the documentary, and
Fortunately,
I got to talk to him before he passed away. So.
Yeah.
And Monster Mansion Matinee was highly regarded. It's regarded as one of the best of those kind of Saturday afternoon horror movies.
Usually,
shows. That
is really top good. Five.
Yeah.
Across the country.
So Andy and Cody and putting it together, they got some footage. Some footage which hasn't been seen. Since these shows aired,
And it was good because
started in 1964, went to 1980.
Yeah,
because Sean, who's the daughter of Alan, she did have all that footage and stuff, so it worked out because she still had all this old stuff that they don't have at the station. So,
great stuff. And people watching so far, I've got a lot of comments on the Facebook page that brought back memories. Everybody's liking it so far.
Yeah,
because it does. When you watch it, it's kind of like so. Growing up, I watched it, and to watch it is like. Takes you right back to being 12 again.
Yeah.
Where can we get this?
It's on Facebook page, Monster Mansion Memories. You go there and right in the cover photo has all the ordering instruction.
Yeah. And go to right on Facebook, which is also a segue into another movie we've talked about in the show. King Lee is coming out on DVD October 29th. absolutely people should see King Lee. I'm not sure on the order of the episodes we're coming out, but there's a King Lee centered episode, a start the movie episode, because we like it so much, with the crew of King Lee. People, and but absolutely, October 29th, it's on their website, which is weforlee.com, has ordering information. Fantastic. I mean, we're all biased. I mean, you know, Andy helped make it. You know, Cody did behind the scenes stuff. I have a cameo in it, so obviously, you know, obviously we love it.
Yeah,
yeah. We love it, and I would recommend people check that out though. But two projects that you can order and pre-order right now.
Yep.
And as always, you can be our friend on Facebook. Stop the Movie. I Want to Get Out. We are on the Book of Face. And you can click on the like button. If you've never used a Facebook before, Andy, you know, you can click on like, and you'll get regular updates from us.
I'm good with the Facebook.
Nice. I have to say, I became with friends with Andy about a month ago. I'm surprised at how active Andy is on the Book Face.
Yeah.
You'll probably be surprised. Wait till you check your messages folder. He gets hijacked a lot.
Yeah.
Or is it hijacked?
I don't think Brian and I are friends on the Book of Faces, though.
No, we should change that.
Oh, really?
I don't know how that happened.
It's kind of sad, actually.
And, you know, I'll use that as motivation to also say Brian should join Twitter, because some of us are on Twitter. You got Jack.
Yes, and Jack Esterbrook.
Cody.
At Cody A. Wolf.
Andrew Wolf.
Randy like the Wolf.
Randy like the Wolf. And you can follow the show at @WindUpFilms. We do... Every time a new episode comes out, we also some pretty funny conversations actually show up on Twitter regarding this show, which, you know, as soon as Andy actually takes ownership of his parody account, he'll get to participate in. So
I'll try that out maybe this week. Somebody's got to walk me through it, though.
Do you want the password? I have the password for you.
Yeah. It actually is relevant.
Yes, it is relevant to this film.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. It. Just a warning, Twitter has trouble sometimes on dial-up internet connections, so... Just be aware.
Okay.
And yeah, that is it for this week. Halloween 3, it's out there. If you want to see it, this is probably the one time of year to see it and laugh mercilessly at it, at its terribleness.
Whatever.
Yeah. Good. Always good to do one of these episodes with Andy kind of defending a movie that is universally known to be.
Oh, this is more kind of defending. This is...
Yeah. There's a lot of people like
that. I've been waiting a long time to do this movie. I'll say that.
It does have... I will say this. I can kind of see why it has a cult following. Like, if you like it as like a cult movie, I kind of get that. If you love laughing at this movie for being absolutely ridiculous, I get that. So, I don't know if that
well,
adds
it fits,
up to...
Well, it fits two genres right there, then. Cult and laughing.
I didn't know
laughing was a genre.
I treat it more like a verb, but
it's the laughing movie of the year. that's gonna be a new Golden Globe category.
I'm just
best actor in a laughing movie.
I'm just picturing my days at Blockbuster.
Crying movie category.
Would that be great if in Blockbuster someone came in? What are you looking for? Oh, I'm looking for something in laughing. We call it comedy. They're over there. Yeah.
Unintentional comedy genre. How's that?
Okay. Yeah.
We'll go with that one.
Sure. There you go. That so works.
Covers two genres.
The Tom Atkins genre too.
Yes. The Tom Atkins unintentional comedy genre, which is its own subdivision. All right. I think that brings this one to a close. We'll see you back here next time. Bye.